to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Abu Mass.
All right. So you were just looking at the chart about what's to come because the waters are heating up.
Yeah. And I mean, I do this for a living. I even have to tell myself, Susan, it's like this every eclipse season. Every eclipse season, you feel like you're losing it. You don't know what to do. It's confusing or whatever. And that's true. It's always like this during eclipse season. The eclipses are called the bringers of change. And it's called that for a reason. They bring in change that you're not used to, that you're not ready for. That, I mean, if you could do this by yourself, you would have already done it. Mm-hmm. So it's the bringers of change. But this one is jacked up. This one in particular is jacked up. We just today went into 6 retrogrades. I mean, first week of August, we go up to 7 retrogrades.
And then 7 we have an eclipse retrograde, right, after that, right?
And then we have the 3rd eclipse right after it. Oh my God. Oh my God. What the hell?
Yeah. The other day I saw something about it that was like, this is sort of like the labor pains that like you're being rebirthed in a major way in the sense that all of these retrogrades coinciding with all of these eclipses in such a tight window, it does not normally happen in this intensity.
Right. And when I go into charts, when things like this happen, when things start to line up, I always default to, okay, so why? Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? Because the planets have consciousness within them. They have intent. This is not on accident. Why is this happening? And if you look at the long term, where we're headed, or the longer term. I mean, right. you can't go out too far, you'll go crazy. But if you'll go out a couple years, okay?
Right.
We're headed into a time when there is massive macro change happening in the world. Massive. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't overemphasize it enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that what's happening to us right now is we're kind of in training. Mm-hmm. It's like, you better get right with yourself. You better get to the point where you understand who you are, what you need, what's important to you, and how to feel safe and okay no matter what's going on around you. When you are completely confused, when you don't have enough information, when you feel like you've been set adrift and you're not being guided, although you are, we're always being guided, but it feels like you've been just dropped in the middle of the ocean. What do you do then? Mm-hmm. Do you freak out? Do you flail? Mm-hmm. Because if you flail, you're going to drown.
Yep.
But if you can remain calm and go, okay, I'm in this ocean for a reason. There is land somewhere. I don't know where, but it's somewhere. And stay steady and still, you'll find clues like birds flying overhead about where land is.
Right. Yeah, that message about really honing in and tuning into yourself and the piece about training. Last night I was painting and doing some journaling around with it, and I kept getting that like message delivered very clearly. Like, this is your training and this is where you apply. This is your training and this is where you apply. Like, and it's all levels of self-care is continuously coming up. But I think it's because of, okay, how do you hold that note for yourself? How do you hold the note of, this is what it looks like when I draw a boundary for myself. This is what it looks like when I'm really authentically taking care of myself. This is what it looks like when I'm in relationships with individuals in any manner that honor me and that I can honor them. Like, how do you dive into that? And what does that look like, feel like, taste like to you?
I think you have to appeal to greed here. Mm-hmm. Why would you do it? Why would you do it? Let's appeal to what does it do for you? Mm-hmm. Why would you do it in the first place? It's not to be good. Mm-mm. Being good and doing what you're supposed to is over. Okay. Yeah. So why would you concentrate on how you're going to show up, how you're going to respond, how you're going to take care of yourself? And personally, I think this is about control. Mm-hmm. When you don't know what's going to happen around you, when you have no control in the macro, gain control in the micro. Here's what I can control,
right?
What I'm going to put in my body, mm-hmm. how much I'm going to sleep, how long I'm going to sit in this shower, because don't knock on this door, God damn it, because I'm sitting in the shower because I need it, that kind of stuff. Like, yeah. Where do you gain control? control about how you're going to respond. And I mean, you and I are equally powerful and intense, mm-hmm. right? Like when we spin out and react with, ah!
Yep.
Like when we freak out, like it's not a great feeling to go, oh, why the fuck did I do that? No, thank you. I'd rather go, see how I just kept my shit? See yep. how I didn't break this glass in your face?
Right.
Yeah, I'm awesome. Right?
I'm doing really good today. Exactly how it is.
Yeah, it's appeal to your own greed here.
Well, and I think there's like the light and the shadow, the duality there though, right? Like to take it into the control of like, how do I control what I put in my body, the company that I keep, the ways that I take care of myself or the ways that I create. There's also like that real allure of going into the shadow side of control of how do I try to control other people to get what I'm looking for? How do I try to control the outcomes of my external world to get what I think serves me best? You know, like ego is completely intertwined there. And I think this is where like that challenge can really deeply come in of like, okay, we're not talking necessarily about how do you control other people in situations to get what you're looking for. We're talking about how do you control like preserving, respecting, and honoring your sacredness.
Right. How you are going to respond when you're meeting life halfway. Mm-hmm. If other people are going to freak out, fall down, flail, let them.
Right.
Let them. It's giving you more information.
Mm-hmm.
It's bringing out things in you that you need to address. Let them. But when I think I've said before about how I'm a Scorpio sun, Scorpio rising, and Mercury retrograde first house Scorpio. That's a lot of Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio can be very justice driven. Like, you've done something wrong and now I need to let you know, right. And over time, because I've been standing around long enough, that can be exhausting. Going around going, I need to tell you how you're doing it wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or how you need to pay or whatever is so tiring. I've learned that if you'll stand back and let people do whatever they're going to do, then okay, you have completed this sentence for me. I don't have to control what you're doing. Because people are going to do whatever they're going to do. You can't control people. You can control how you're going to respond. You can control how you're going to grow or adapt in response to it. But you can't control what other people are doing. That's a big relief to stand back and go, I'm going to let people do whatever they're going to do. And yeah. Some people are going to fall down. Some people are going to disappoint you. Some people are going to do the wrong thing. Let them.
Because then you have the knowledge and then you can make a choice. Like it's a completely different energy from like trying to control it. And because I still have the same thing in me of like that archetype of being the martyr and needing to come in and be like, hey, I see you're doing this. Could you make a different choice? Rather than standing back and just allowing somebody to make whatever choice that they're making and then being like, oh, now I have the capability of choosing for myself. Does this work for me? Does it not work for me? If it doesn't work for me, thank you so much for that clarity because now I can move on.
Right. Right. And then there's the shadow side of that.
Mm-hmm.
The shadow side of that is becoming apathetic.
Right.
Where you don't give people information. You don't let them know that they have an ally on an ally in doing better. So it's making ourselves available for each other, being like, listen, I'm here. This is who I am. This is the information I have, or this is how I support you, or here's how I totally empathize because I've been in those shadows too, if you want it. But if you don't, go ahead, make any decision you want.
Right. So where is the control piece coming up in the eclipse and in the astrology for like the upcoming week? Is that happening in the eclipse or is it because of the retrogrades?
Well, first of all, the need for control is happening because we've got so many retrogrades that we don't have all the information we need. We mm-hmm. can't see enough. Everything has been turned inward. We're internalizing everything. And so everything feels very confusing. We can't see how things are going to play out. And we shouldn't. I think that the pull is to want to know how everything's going to play out so that we have some sort of control about it. But we're, I mean, our human brains are small compared to the greater force of life. Let things play out in a bigger way and be like, I keep telling people your favorite phrase right now needs to be, I don't know. Mm-hmm. What the hell is happening? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Let it play out. In this eclipse that happens tomorrow, we're recording on Thursday. It's going to happen on Friday.
Right.
Is a lunar eclipse at Mars retrograde on the south node in Aquarius, while the sun is at the north node in Leo. Mars retrograde is having the masculine, and with people who have dominant masculine within them, a lot of men, but right. also some women too. It's having people go, I can't, and fall down. Just falling out. Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Venus, the feminine, is in Virgo. Virgo is about showing up. Virgo is about not quitting. Virgo is the healing goddess energy. Virgo is about turning wrongs into rights. So there's, if you can set aside your ego, if you cannot freak out about how people feel far away, South Node Aquarius, if you cannot freak out and be like, okay, this feeling of separateness is not comfortable. I don't like it. Okay, I want people closer. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Are you get into practicalities of here are the ways that I need to change the setup of my life so that I feel closer to people like that.
And I think that comes up from feeling closer to yourself, right? Because it's so much easier to be like, oh, I need people near me. I have to go out and I need to be in a social environment. Because it distracts me from the fact that like I also am not showing up for myself. So like the messages that I've been getting of like, okay, I can control what I'm putting in my body, but I can sure as hell also control, am I creating? Am I sleeping? Am I taking a walk and enjoying the outdoors? Like how can I feed myself in such a way that it's not that I don't miss other people and that I don't need them in my life, but I'm filling up my cup and by myself in order to be of better service for other people.
Right. And again, go back to why. Why is that happening right now? Why is it that we're being pulled in the direction of, are you okay? What do you need? Why is that? Why are we having a very real potent sense of people feeling far away and having to go within? Why? And I think it's because we have massive change coming and we need to hone this skill of checking in with ourselves and being okay. Because when the North Node in November goes into Cancer, and that means the South Node will be in Capricorn. South Node in Capricorn, where we shouldn't be,
right,
is in the sign where we're being liberated, where Saturn's going to cross Pluto and Jupiter will be there too. We're building up to 2020, right? Mm-hmm. South Node, where massive collapse in control systems is happening, while North Node is in Cancer. I think where we're headed is open up to vulnerability, because that's where we create new worlds. And don't run back into your cage. You don't need your cage anymore. You don't need it.
No. And I think I keep hearing this big request coming through of the theme of show up. Obviously, very, very clearly, show up and show up in such a manner that you're willing to dream greater than you've ever dreamt before. Like willing to be so vulnerable and like, I don't know what's happening. And what is the best case scenario that I could possibly create in my life that like is beyond my infinite like ability to understand what I have the potential of creating. And I'm going to hold that space of like, maybe it's not that far-fetched. Maybe I can show up and be vulnerable and get to that level or expose myself to this place because I'm willing to hold the spaciousness of like, well, maybe it could exist. I don't know. I don't know what the hell is happening in general right now.
We've been through decades. I mean, literal decades, like 40 years of really dark shit. Mm-hmm. If you're alive, if you're old enough, you've seen a lot of darkness in the last 40 years because of gnarly transits in Scorpio. We've been through a lot. We've been through a whole lot. And now in a time of massive change, we're being asked to trust the greater force of life more than control systems that have kept us suppressed. Trust life. And man, I'm having to really leap on that one.
Oh yeah.
Personally, I'm like, trust life. Oh my God, life is going to drop me. It has dropped me many times. And it's like, not this time, not this time. Try it again. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to try it again.
Yeah, because there's a lot of healing happening in that trying again, because I also have that storyline playing out of like, trust life. Okay. Well, I mean, like I'm creating art, like, you know, and exposing it. Just exposing myself, whether it's your thoughts, whether it's your beliefs, whether it's what you are creating, just exposing yourself is also met with that lovely little voice of like, yeah, but that never worked out for you before. Oh, but look what happened every single time you've fallen on your face. Look at when they've run over you. Look at how horrible that ended up. And to be back in that place of like, okay, but I'm going to show up and I'm going to expose myself. And holy fuck, is there terror associated with it? But here we go, liberation.
Mm-hmm. And that right there is why I say that vulnerability, brave vulnerability, is where we create new worlds. If you go and hide under the bed, you're not creating anything. You have to expose yourself. You have to try again. You have to keep hope alive. You have to be like, hope I don't fall on my face. Ah!
Yep.
And do it anyway. Do it anyway. Keep going. There, I mean, we've talked about this many times. The great success stories always involve falling on your face a lot.
Yep.
And where everybody else would have quit, you keep going. Mm-hmm. That's where you get to where you want to be. And it's not just like, I'm going to create the next tennis shoe or whatever. It's paying your rent.
Mm-hmm.
It's being like, well, I made it through August. Let's head into September.
Right.
I mean, keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Figure out a new way. Figure it out better this time.
Mm-hmm.
Get to next Tuesday. Keep going. Don't stop. It's not just like sensationalist stuff. It's in the mundanity of life too.
Yeah. And I also think it's not, for me at least, it's not feeling like, and this goes back to that control piece of the, and you and I've talked about this before with list of like, for so long in my existence, I was like, oh, when I hit this, here's my next goal, right? Like, I'm just gonna make the tennis shoe. I'm gonna get the prototype up, whatever, right? Like, okay, now I've done that. Now I'm gonna get a buyer to buy the tennis shoe. Like, and just moving from goal to goal to goal. And now I think what's happening is more of like, okay, well, you can have those goals, but what is also beyond that? What are you willing to say like could happen outside of this rather than like moving goal oriented to goal orientation, you know, like more of that expansive, well, what else is possible here besides just the shoe?
That's right. And that's a process that happens during midlife transits. You're going into midlife transits. I'm coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that pocket between roughly 35 and roughly 45, right? That pocket, that window is when you start to understand that life is finite.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be here forever. You won't.
Right.
And I tell you what, nobody has ever asked me to show them my diploma.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's asked me to show them my degree. Nobody cares.
Right.
What are you doing to show up? What are you doing to participate? What are you doing to affect people's lives? I just saw, I took my son to see Won't You Be My Neighbor about Mr. Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad said to him, your mom's going to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I cried within 2 minutes. I mean, like, you know, and what was surprising though is my son cried too.
Aww.
There's a very real message within that film about what are you going to do? What are you going to do? In it, it says, somebody was saying, what would Mr. Rogers do? And I think they said along the lines of, a more important question is, what are you going to do? It doesn't matter what Mr. Rogers is going to do. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Having an eclipse at the South Node in Aquarius makes everything feel far away and separate. And I've been trying to tell people, okay, don't run from that. See that separateness? See how you feel within that. See how it feels like the web of connection is broken. What are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
What are you in your confidence, in your visibility, in your fire going to do about it? Do something. This spot right here where people feel far away and I feel like I'm helpless. No one should feel like that. Do something about it. What are you going to do?
You can lean into the separateness there. Like what's coming up for me, I don't know if you've seen this. There's the video circulating around of a Swedish student who refused to sit down on the plane.
That's right.
And stood there. And like, I mean, just put yourself in that situation. Like she's standing up and not sitting down because she knows that if she sits down, the plane's going to take off and there's going to be somebody that sacrificed because of it, because of his location.
Right. So it's a Swedish woman. It's an Afghanistan man who's being deported out of Sweden back to Afghanistan. And she said, this man being deported back to Afghanistan, he's going to die. This is his death. We're sending him into hell. And that's mm-hmm. not right. I won't stand for it.
Right.
So as long as I'm still standing, this plane cannot leave. And there was, I think it was a British man
yes.
who came up to her and was like, you know, what the hell are you doing? And tried to take the phone and sit down. And
yep.
people were like, you know, like
pressuring
her to give in. And she's like, and she was crying.
Yeah.
Like crying, I think in her fear of, oh God, I'm not sitting down. Ah!
I'm not sitting down and I'm also separate because look, people are attacking me and there's this separation of like, I'm standing up for somebody to save his life and I'm being criticized and attacked from it. And here I am completely separate from everybody uh-huh. else.
And then into the video more, mm-hmm. people around her got brave enough to support her. There was a Turkish man who's like, yes. I'm with you. I'm with yep. you. Good job. And by the time the footage ended, they took the man off the plane. It worked.
Yes.
And she ended up being applauded.
Yes.
Do something.
Yes.
Do something. It doesn't have to be damaging. It can be healing.
It can be
stand
healing.
Your ground and say, no, I'm not going to participate in sending someone into hell.
Right. Yeah. And in that, like, this thing is just such a beautiful example of like, you start off as extremely separate from the rest of the crowd and that, and in that liberation of standing for what you believe in and holding a strict line in the sand of like, no, I'm not willing to do this. I'm not going to be a participant in it. You are also bringing in the people that are in support, the your tribe, that you are bringing in the collective group that is there to help liberate, uplift, and transcend all of this.
Right. Whenever you speak up, whenever you take a stand, whenever you're brave enough to go, oh shit, I'm going to take a stand right now. You got to know that there are millions of people out there who feel silent too.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know that. Come November, Jupiter is going to go into Sagittarius. Saturn went through Sagittarius 2.5 years ago as of December 2017, right? Mm-hmm. So Saturn went through Sagittarius and it was like a drill sergeant in our face going, you better stand up for what you truly believe in. You and I both were yep. pushed out of the corporate world during yep. that time, right?
Yep.
It was like our lives kind of fell apart, what right. we thought was our lives. But now right. we're moving into something that we actually believe in. Stand yes. up for your true beliefs.
Yep.
Now Jupiter is going to go through and it's going to expand that. And it's going to say, remember what Saturn said? Mm-hmm. Stand up for what you truly believe, no matter what, because no matter what is coming. All right, here you go. Here's your chance. Stand up for what you truly believe in. The galactic center is in Sagittarius. Galactic center is what it sounds like. It's the center of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, in astrology, we call it the eye of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the vision that God or spirit or the greater force of life, whatever you want to call it, has for humanity. For the entire planet, the galactic center is in Sagittarius. It's that hope is always alive, that we have unlimited possibilities, and the beliefs you hold will dictate the world you live in. Stand up for what you believe in. If you believe we're going to send people back into hell, welcome to war.
Right.
If you believe, no, I'm not going to stand for that because people need to have support, and I'll put my life on the line for this. I'm not going to participate in it anymore. Welcome to liberation. Welcome to liberation. We have to stand up for what we truly believe in, because it literally dictates the reality that's going to ripple out from that.
Absolutely. And I think it brings up, like, to bring it back into the body, you know, like, the thoughts that we think create the diseases that we experience in our bodies. They create the inflammation in the worlds that we exist in, outside of our bodies, right? Like, and we have the power to rewrite our DNA. We can literally change our DNA structures and our cellular structures by changing the way that we consume food, the way that we think, the company that we keep. We have that power to change it internally. So why the hell would we not be able to change it externally? But it has to begin with, like, that point of, what do I believe in? Do I believe that, like, I was born into this body to be sick and unhealthy and feel like shit all the time? Or do I believe that I was born into this body so that I could be free and move and have play and joy and do lots of things? Like, what is the actual belief? You know, like, you've talked about that a lot of, like, especially in December of last year, where it was starting to hit. And you were saying, well, what do you believe? And I think at that point in time, I really sat with that question of, like, well, what do I believe? I don't believe in injustice, right? Like, I don't believe in people suffering for the sake of just suffering. And I was taking it very, like, matter of fact of, like, I don't believe in a lot of the policies that are going on in the government. Like, you know, like, that's what I don't believe in. And then what happened during, like, that liberation from the corporate world for me was, like, oh, what you're really speaking about is, what do I believe in? What am I capable of having in this lifetime? Where am I able to show up in my life? And actually, what are my beliefs about what I can create, what I am entitled to experience, where I can have emotions and free range and, like, impact community? Those were the beliefs that I was, like, not able to access initially. And now I'm like, that was the bigger request of what was coming through.
Yeah, beliefs about possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Possibility. What does that really mean? I mean, it means, like, it's possible that I'll be able to pay my bills this week. It's right. Possible. I can make that happen. But more than that, want more. Mm-hmm. What is possible? Individual people come up with solutions to problems that change the entire world. Yeah. Individual people, the possibilities. Possibility, if you stand around long enough, you will experience disappointment on a level that makes you give up on possibility. Mm-hmm. You will. You get dropped, you get left, you get abandoned, things don't work out, you think you know how things are going to go and they don't. Disappointment will ruin possibilities if you stand around long enough. If you let it.
Right.
If you let it, like, the way that I am learning to frame possibilities as I get older is, you've got to keep it open. The things that didn't work out that you thought were going to be a certain way, it's because you weren't meant to be there. It's okay. Let life guide you. Mm-hmm. Let life say, close, but you need to turn left. Or, not that person, but I see why you picked it. Mm-hmm. Or you're pushing yourself too far. I'm going to pull you back. Let yourself be guided, but keep possibilities open always, always. People fall into going on the record of their disappointment.
Yep.
Based on the record of my disappointment, here are the parameters of what I can do. The record of your disappointment is the completely wrong way to see possibility. It's not that you've been let down, it's that you've been guided.
Yep.
Stay open, 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 always, and allow life to guide you if you're going too far left, too far right.
Yeah, I think that's where the request to challenge the narratives that play in. And the narratives are not even just narratives that we've heard and learned in our lifetimes. It's also the narratives that we keep for ourselves of, like, oh, well, that didn't work out the way it was supposed to. So I screwed this up, or this person harmed me, or, like, how can you flip that script? Of, thank you, I am now aware of something that I don't want, that didn't serve me the way I wanted it to serve me. Now I can make a different choice. Like, how can you reframe that context to move yourself more towards the liberation? And I think, to go back to your original point, and I had posted about this a couple of days ago, was like, your liberation's not going to happen by standing in the corner going over all of the stories of where things went wrong. That's not where this takes place at. It takes place where you get in a fine-tooth freaking comb with your flashlight out, and you're like, oh, here's a narrative and a storyline I've been spinning for myself about the ways that I'm not deserving, the ways that I can't show up, the way that I have been disappointed, the ways that I don't believe in possibility, the ways that I'm not letting myself dream beyond what is my current situation. That's where you can find liberation, because that's where there's vulnerability at.
Yeah. And right now in the astrology, there's two potent spots of liberation happening. One is in Capricorn. It's the collapse of old rules, old structures, old paradigms, old expectations, old mechanisms of control that keep us in boxes. Mm-hmm. That's collapsing. The other is Chiron. Chiron in Aries. When Chiron goes between Pisces into Aries, it happens around liberation movements. I think mm-hmm. we've talked about this. Yep. And in my opinion, I don't think that we start liberating ourselves and each other because we feel awesome about what we're doing in the world. I think we probably look up and go, holy shit, what have we done? Oh my God.
Right.
And so looking at how we've hurt ourselves and each other and letting old mechanisms of control collapse means that, I think, and we'll see as we move through it, vulnerability comes up and we have to open up to a new way of being in the world. We have to open up to caring for each other. We have to open up to caring for ourselves. We have to let oppression be over. Let it end. Let it end. Let it end. Let it end. And that means that we're going to have to mend our wounds about it. Mm-hmm. How we've been beaten up. How we've been pushed into cages. How we've contorted ourselves to fit into molds that are limiting our ability to create and to shine and expand and grow. I mean, this is not an easy place to be. You've mentioned this before, like, yay us for choosing to be here right now. Wow.
Yeah.
This is big.
Yes, it's big. And it's also required like some serious shadow work. Like, we are being really requested to look into the shadows, into the dark places of where we have bought into these things, where our paradigm has bought into like this oppression and suffering, and then how we want to really choose liberation and that duality of like, we can't have that liberation without fully understanding and acknowledging the places where we've contributed and participated in the suffering.
Oh God, that's so hard to face. I mean, even if you just look at yourself, how you push yourself too far, how you make yourself do things to meet other people's expectations, how you mortgage your happiness for some future date,
right?
How you worn yourself out because you think that you've got 9 lives. You don't. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be here forever. You're just not.
Right.
Having to face like, this life matters and I'm going to treat it with integrity. Yep. What is important to me? And care. God, I keep coming back to care right now. And I think it's my own process of being in this eclipse, that separateness of the South Node and Aquarius, the eclipse that happens tomorrow as of the recording right. that we're doing right now. That separateness, I think that people, my concern is that people will fall into separateness and flail within it. Mm-hmm. And end up causing harm. Out of helplessness, out of separateness, out of apathy, flailing, instead of going, hang on a second. This separateness is a problem. This is a problem that we can solve if we'll come back into what lights up our own hearts, North Node Leo, if we'll carry forward, care for ourselves and care for each other, the first eclipse in Cancer. Mm-hmm. That apathy part really, I've got a really strong charge about that. Like every time I look at the chart, when I look at that eclipse at South Node Aquarius, I'm real nervous. I'm nervous for humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to be fine. Okay. I don't want to instill fear where it's not called for. It's just I'm worried about what people do when they feel like they're alone. I'm worried about that.
Well, and I think I agree. And what the example that keeps coming in my mind is like, I think that there will be lots of people that may align with this. If you've ever been in a relationship where you have become needy on the other person, right? Because you have put all of your needs upon the other person and they are the source of your own happiness. They are the source of your own everything. That if they're not giving you attention, then you are somehow less than, and like you cannot exist without them. Like they are your God figure, for lack of a better word, and your well-being and your worthiness comes strictly from them. And then they pull away. And then all of a sudden you go, holy fuck, how do I get that back? And then we can entice a whole bunch of behaviors where like you're blowing up their phone, you're going to their house, you are making cookies, you're drawing a bath, you're trying to seduce them, you know, like whatever it may be, you're trying all of these tactics to rein them back in so that you can start feeling worthy about yourself, to like have them near you, even though the source of worthiness is you inherently by yourself. It's you doing those things for you. It's not going to come from other people. However, that's what I think of when you're talking about the South Node and where we are headed with this eclipse, because it can be really like alluring and enticing to be like, okay, well, if they just give me a little bit of attention, then I'll feel better about myself and then I can take care of myself. And I think the care piece is coming up because it's like, no, this is not about, they may be separate from you and they're going to be separate from you, but you have to return to you in your own caring.
Oh, that's so, I think we talked about this last week. It's the difference between receiving care and caring for other people in a way that is of choice, mm-hmm. that is offered up and received, and grabbing, right. looting in particular from the feminine, like you've got something I want and grabbing it. Yep. Looting from the feminine is destructive. It's violent.
Mm-hmm.
That learning to reach for care within yourself so that you're stabilized, and then we build webs together.
Right.
Stabilize yourself first. How do you feel about when I say looting from the feminine? When I say that, how does it feel to you when you get looted from?
Well, it elicits a whole, you know, I've got the Sag and the Scorpio too and the Aries. So I immediately am like, motherfuckers, you better back up. Like nobody's taken anything from me. But I'm also very fiery with what's going on with the eclipses right now. And so I think the looting is like, what it really brings up is that somebody has a narrative that they have more control over my life than I do, that they are entitled to approach me in a manner where they feel like they can take something from me, that what I have is inherently not mine. And it is a commodity for them to purchase, to buy, to sell, to take from me as they deem appropriate. So that's where like that real fiery reactive shit comes in for me, where I'm like, no, but it's really like, it's a sadness and also just complete frustration with how dare you think you're entitled to my well-being and that you can take it from me.
Wow. Yeah, I agree. It's a control thing. Like you and I have a lot of Aries and Scorpio. Mm-hmm. We both do. And I get that way too. When I get looted from, I get mad.
Mm-hmm.
I get really mad. Like how dare you? How dare you grab at me? How right. dare you? I get it. There's something about that. There's something about someone else having control over what's going to happen to me, mm-hmm. outside of my own control of myself.
Right.
Like my own self agency, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to decide what's going to happen to me. Don't grab at me. Don't right. grab at me. I wonder how that applies to the macro, how that applies to the collective. Like how often we grab at vulnerability, how mm-hmm. often we grab at kindness, how often we grab at the planet, we grab at the actual earth, like, ooh, the earth has something I want. I'm gonna grab it. I mean, I'm willing to obliterate the planet to get what's inside of it, right. grab it for myself and go get some money. Like the whole fracking thing, right?
We're selling off of national lands so they can put more pipelines in, which has just been passed. So, you know, like that's happening. I think to answer your question of like, how does it apply in the macro? The way I feel about like somebody looting at me, and because I've done the inner work that I've done of, okay, that's a projection of you. That's your storyline. That's you acting out your own stuff. You're not going to grab at me. Here's my boundary. Here's my line. I'm not having any of it. Like, you are not entitled to my life, my well-being, my sanity, my sanctity, anything. So here's my line in the sand. And I think that's how it applies in the macro of like, okay, we are not entitled to Mother Earth's resources. We are not. We are just living here. You sure as shit better believe that we need to be respecting where we're living. Because right. A tsunami, a hurricane, a forest fire, in a heartbeat. Like, that is not to be messed with, you know? And it's the same thing as, like, that energy of the Scorpio and the Aries of, like, nope, that will be the anger that is elicited, you know? And, like, to do that in the macro is more of, like, okay, here's my line. My knives are sharpened. Past this point, nobody goes, no, you're not entitled to Mother Earth's resources. You are not entitled to taking anything from anybody else. That is not our purpose here on this planet. Get it straight. You are entitled to own your own life and your own well-being. And how you want to show up for that is on you and part of your own storyline.
Oh, God. You realize a lot of people don't understand that at all.
Yes. Yep.
I was talking with a client yesterday, and I was saying to her that people don't know how to heal. And she's a person who owns her own energy, like 1,000%,
right?
She's constantly working on her own healing, her own evolution constantly. Mm-hmm. So when I say people don't know how to heal, she was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, no, for real. People don't know how to heal. I can tell you all the workings of how you're built, the lessons that you're going to learn in life, when relationships are going to come in, when money's going to have a hard time. I can give you all kinds of information from your chart, but what are you going to do with it? Right. People don't know how to heal. People don't know how to evolve. People don't know how to recover from trauma. People don't know how to take ownership of their own energy and understand that that energy vibrates out into the collective. So you better take responsibility for it. People don't know how to do that.
No, entirely. I mean, I think that's why I've done the work that I've done within health and wellness coaching and nutrition, because we don't know how to eat anymore. We don't know how to cook food for ourselves.
Right.
We don't know how to heal ourselves on a very like minuscule level of like what the food that I'm putting in my mouth. And then you put trauma on top of it. And most of the time, what do? We hold it in. We lock it into our self structures. And then it's reverberating throughout our bodies and throughout our mental statuses because we haven't healed it. We haven't taken it into the light and transmuted it and liberated it.
And then we call that normal.
Right.
Then we call that normal. Then we say, well, this is life. Mm-hmm. This is what it's like to be human. Is it? Is this what it's like to be human? What have we become? Mm-hmm. Why are we calling this normal? Why are we sick? Why are we in dis-ease? Why are we enduring life? What has become of us? And man, I think it's the Uranus and Taurus piece of revolutionizing what we value.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone is going to have a moment of going, what's important to me? Is this, we've talked about this before too. Is this car important to me? Mm-hmm. Or is it just a fucking car?
Right.
Wouldn't I rather concentrate on how people don't have water?
Yeah.
Wouldn't I rather do that? Isn't that more important?
Yeah. I think it's that piece that you were just talking to about also with the apathy of like the thing that also I keep hearing is the complacency. Where have you or I or anyone chosen to be complacent? Where accepting status quo as normal is now good enough. And this eclipse to me really is that the bequest of okay, we've chosen it. We've chosen complacency. We've chosen comfort. We've chosen to say, this is normal. And where are you willing to challenge yourself on that? Where are you willing to say, is this normal? Is this what I want my normal to look like? Is this how I want to live my life? Does this look like happiness? Does this look like healthiness? Like, does this look like wellness? Does this look like liberation? If the answer is no, then okay, what can I dream outside of this? What can I start calling in? What can I start choosing? Where can I start standing up for something greater than complacency and normalcy?
Want more for yourself. Yes. It's popular to say we don't want anything. Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. You want lots of things. You want to be able to breathe, right?
Yeah.
You want to be able to live. You want to be able to not be in pain, right? There are things that you do want. Mm-hmm. What do you want? What do you want? What's important? I'm looking out. It's very easy to look out at what's happening in the world and go, oh, we're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
We're so fucked. Or we can go, what do you want instead? What do you want instead? We ended up here because we keep going along with, oh yeah, fuck it, it's fine.
Right.
Right? Like the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
Right? You just go, yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
We'll worry about it later. We'll do it later. Worry about it later ain't working.
There's no later.
There is no later.
Mm-mm.
It's right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, try for people who have kids, try looking at your kids and tell them, well, we just decided we'll worry about it later. Your kids are going to look at you going, you mean I'm going to worry about it later. Since you're not going to do anything, you're putting it on me.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your kid and go, well, we just decided this is normal. Sometimes my son will look over my shoulder and see the news or whatever, mm-hmm. see the captions of the news. And he'll have reactions like, really? I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. really? And how do you explain that?
Yep.
How do you explain this is normal?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this normal? Why are we okay with this? Why is apathy setting in to the point where we accept all kinds of atrocities,
all
kinds of breaking down of values? And I don't mean values like traditional values.
Right.
I mean values like what's really important. What's really important? I promise you it's not fashion. I promise you it's not fashion. I promise you it's not one-upping and being better than somebody else. I mean, Regulus is in Virgo now. Regulus marks the leadership of the world. It takes 2,000 years for Regulus to go through a sign. In 2012, Regulus clicked into Virgo. For the last 2,000 years, from 2012 back, Regulus was in Leo. We've been king and kingdom and lavishness led for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Virgo now. The leadership of the world is who's showing up of service, who's showing up to heal, who's showing up to bring the rain to the drought,
mm-hmm.
who's showing up, who's showing up to make things better. That's the leadership of the world. I mean, you can't make Regulus go backwards. That's where we are for the next 2,000 years. Get on board or don't.
Right. And there's the request, where have you been desensitized? Where are you willing to lean into yourself and feel into the emotions? Where are you willing to, actually honor the experience that you're having? We have real life happening. My 5-year-old son just entered. For everybody that's listening, that's just what happened. Real world podcast.
I just watched you go, ow. And I was thinking, that's mom life. Like, you're breaking my arm. You're breaking my arm.
And okay, still showing up. It's true, but the desensitization, becoming desensitized, I think is really, that is the big request that I see is no longer choosing apathy, no longer being willing to choose the masculine, or identifying masculine flailing of, oh, I'm just going to wallow in this of okay, but no. Feminine driven, what am I going to do? where am I going to show up and actually honor the fact that, like, oh, maybe I did become desensitized to the fact that Flint, Michigan still doesn't have clean water. Like, maybe I've ignored that for so long that now, guess what? I can't ignore it anymore. There's people that literally don't have clean water in the United States. Like, what?
In the United States, we're not talking about a third world country here. In the United States, what the hell are we doing with our time?
Right.
What are we doing?
Yep. Yeah, it's like, no longer being willing to turn and look the other way.
Right. Like, I feel it sometimes. If you mention Flint, people are like, and what am I going to do about it? You can do lots about it. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to force ourselves into other people's shoes that don't fall into separateness. You are Flint.
Mm-hmm.
If I had no access to water and I didn't have the resources to move, I didn't have enough money to move, I'm stuck here. I would want someone out there to go, we have to help those people. I would want someone to help. Yes. If you have no resources to do any, if you're desperate, don't you want someone to be thinking of you? Fuck, man. You are it. If it's happening in the world, it's happening to you.
And that's, I think, how you bridge the separateness that we're experiencing right now, of understanding that if it's happening and you're witnessing it, it is also happening internally. So that's how you connect. Even when people feel like they're on another fucking planet, that's how you connect, is by not stepping away, not looking the other direction, not being like, oh, well, tomorrow. There's no more tomorrows. It's now.
That's right.